Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone. Keelan Patterson, Midwest Muscle People, P Real Talk in the Ezos. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And I just love saying it like that. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck to ice cream.
Like a Mack truck to ice cream.
I'm talking
don't
all that.
Don't make me want to kick you so soon in the show.
All soft like some ice cream and jumbo cookies. Anyway, check us out at p4pmuscle.com and snickerdoodle for the win. Let's talk. Hey, Desiree.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Snickerdoodle for the win. Everybody knows it's chocolate whey for the win. But, hey, Kaylin, how are you on this fine Thursday?
I'm doing real good. Lots of sunshine. I've not missed the rain, and I love this nice cool breeze that's going through. And we also have a cool breeze as our guest.
Oh, my. Yes, we do.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but I am so set for the fall. So if you're with me, send us lots of smiley faces and let's get ready for the cool weather and football season. But if you were with us last Tuesday when we were given a rundown of the pro lineup that hit the stage at the Windy City Naturals, you know exactly who we are talking about tonight. And that exactly, or a.k.a. Cool Breeze, as Kaylin called him, a.k.a. Austin Okunola. There we go. And who we have on the airwaves with us tonight. Austin, please say hello to everyone out in listener land.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Keenan, long time no speak. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to finally finally get on this the show and hopefully have some real conversation.
I've been taping this diet down for years.
So I'm not that hard to find, you know. But just I've been bouncing around off and on, but I'm glad we could finally lock a date and time down.
Oh my goodness, we're already getting questions. First one, how can this guy look like that? Okay, I'm sorry, Deborah, I'm sorry. Deborah wants to know, how can this guy look like he does and not be more known in the natural community? I'll let you answer that, Sam, and then Des and I will take a tackle. And, wow, I mean, that's pretty quick. But go ahead, Sam, and we'll jump on.
The question, how can I not be well known? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know.
Hello?
We lost him.
Oh, no. I know. He was starting to talk, and then I heard nothing, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I still on the line? And
no,
I'm on the line.
No.
Sorry to disappoint folks. It's me instead of Austin.
Instead of Austin?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were calling him Austin. I was like, who's Austin?
Oh, he's back.
No, yes. So anyways, what I was saying before, I never really put myself out there or, you know, advertise myself out there. And it's one of those things that you just wish and hope, you know, the little work that you're doing, something you're chasing your own dreams, your own goals that you set for yourself, and hopefully inspire, you know, people by your actions, and tell, you know, and show people that what you're doing is nothing special. Anybody can do it. You just got to put in a little bit of action forth, and you can accomplish the same thing I'm doing. So as far as me not being as, you know, popular as I should be, I cannot speak to that. I have my little following of people that, you know who I am. You know, I don't, it's not an ego match, and, you know, I don't I don't know. It's a tough question to answer. I mean, I'm about to ask other people too. I'm trying to figure that out.
Yes, I'll let Dad go first, and then I'll tackle it because I can't answer that
one. You know, hey, it's just a very humble answer that you've given, and if that's how it is, and you know, you're more a man of action than a man of words, then hey, I have to respect that. The Windy City Natural is the first time that I've seen you hit the stage, so it could be perhaps that you've been competing in areas that many of our listeners haven't been watching as closely. So do you tend to compete in the Midwest, or, where are some of the areas that you like to?
You actually are keying in on a good point that I never really thought about. So I guess, I took a couple of years off. From competing. So I'm not, I'm on social media, but it's not my social media presence as far as Instagram goes. It's just about, you know, lifestyle. You know, I have a typical corporate job, 9 to 5. At the same time, I have a true passion for, for bodybuilding. I've been working, moving. Keenan knows I used to live in Chicago. Now I live in the St. Louis area now. So, moving around, starting a new job, it's competing was just not, at the forefront. I still work out, but just actually stepping on stage was not, at the time, just not something that I was, interested in doing. Not because I lost the passion for it. It's just not my current goal at the time. I had other aspirations and goals in mind, and now I figure 3 years has been long enough, and I've, made some quality improvements, and here we are 3 years later. And we go way back, so you can definitely attest to my repertoire or shows that I've done. I'm usually taking about a year or two off in between seasons, so I'm not the type of person that competes every year. So that could be another reason why you might not have heard of me, because I'm not, competing every year or every 2 years. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's just, gap in between competitions. And to answer your question also about, location and geography of where I, typically compete in, I don't pick a show because the show is like, closer or far from me. I mean, I've competed in Virginia, I've competed in D.C., I was back in California, I've done some Midwest shows. So it's not really location, it's more of a, how big is the show? What's the challenge? You want to be compared to, some of the top pro guys, in natural bodybuilding. And, if a show has been ramped up to be one, I definitely want to be involved in it because I do want to see how I compare to these guys. I mean, the goal is to, battle myself, improve my, my best. That's all about for me. I'm not really chasing after, a specific, somebody, and I want to beat a specific somebody. I always want to be myself. But don't get me wrong, now, obviously you compete to win, but, if I can be better than the last show, the last time I was on a certain stage, and that goal is already accomplished for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to go a little bit deeper, and it's going to be a little bit it's kind of a burn on the natural community. And that's because we don't uplift the names of the people in the natural ranks like we do the enhanced community. And that's like, that's more toward us. I remember Andrea was talking about that, how the promoters don't promote the bigger names and the more successful pros or the up-and-comers. And we just don't put the names out there. So basically, it's a little bit harder when you have one person, coming up in the industry, and they do have a physique like yours, and they do have a stature, and they do have that stage charisma, and also, off the stage as well. So you are attainable, you're approachable, but as an industry, we don't market in the way that would make it more successful for the athlete. It's more cater to the venue, the promoter, and the show itself, not the people that are stepping on stage until after the show is done. So, you know, I think that's a two-part answer in how we go about and making it better, because it has to be improved, honestly. It really does. And it's to have someone of your caliber, physique, and still be a shock to so many of our listeners, it's just amazing to me. You know, I there's an understanding I had before Dez and I were doing this show, but now that the listeners are out there and we know they're hungry for natural athletes, and for someone of your caliber to still be like culture shock when they see you and say, how did we miss this one? You know, like, you know, granted, we have the Phil Ricardos, we have the Cleveland Thomas, we have the Martin Daniels, and but if you dig a little bit deeper, that's when the question marks start coming up, and it's just shocking that, you know, we have so many that are chiming in right now saying, you know, who is this guy, and how come we don't know more about him? And I'll let Dez get to some questions, because I don't want to run too long. So go ahead, Dez.
All right, gotcha. So Linda wants to know how much you weigh on stage, because you just look massive. So what is your competition stage weight?
I feel like every question you're going to ask me today is going to be a loaded question, so I'm trying to explain it as concise as possible. It varies on, you know, my stage weight, and I can only guesstimate because I don't really carry a scale with me when I travel to shows, but I can only give you like a rough guesstimation what I look like. So I think the promo picture that you guys used, that was the Monster Mayhem in California. I would say, I mean, at the morning of the show, I was around 206, 207 on stage. That's after a week of depleting and then carving up the for about a day and a half. So, and you know, this last weekend in Chicago, I was slightly lower than that. It's not something I try to, you know, attain or a specific scale that I'm trying to look for. You know, you just let your body do what it does, and just, you know, whatever it falls. I mean, as long as visually, you know, I'm getting the feedback that I need, the weight on the scale doesn't really matter. But to answer your question, hover around 206, 207 on stage.
Okay, cool. And that's a fair answer. And no, I don't think anything from you is going to be loaded. I can see that our listeners are generally just interested in knowing more about you. For instance, like Dale wants to know just a little bit more about your background and how many shows that you have won this year.
Okay, a little bit about my background. I guess I can kind of just start from how I started. So I'm not sure if you can tell by the last name. I am Nigerian. I was originally born in Nigeria, and I moved to the state with my parents when I was 2003, I believe. Went to Northern Illinois University, about an hour west of Chicago. Studied operations management, information systems, and been working in corporate America ever since. I never personal trained or anything like that, but through my time in college, that's when I sort of, you know, caught the bug. And I should also say before that, I was in the military for 6 years. So, you know, all through growing up, I've always been very, you know, active and, you know, play sports, et cetera. And joined the military, obviously, it's a very physically demanding sort of job. And getting out and going back to school, it's almost like, okay, so what's next? Physically, what's next? There's no, you know, 6 mile to run. There's no 2 mile to run. You know, there's no rock march. It's like, well, physically, what do you want to do? Obviously, you work out. So back in Northern, the first time I ever competed was one of my KMP teachers talked me into into doing a local, like, sort of a fundraising competition back in school, just to raise money, you know, for the entry fees for, like, I think leukemia awareness or something like that. And I competed and I won the show. And after training for me for, like, you know, a month and a half, I mean, I had some help. And one of the guys that helped me at the time, I'm sure Keenan knows who I'm about to talk about, Javi. Javi's another guy that kind of just, you know, taught me. I mean, he was a cop. I mean, he's a cop in the DeKalb area and kind of helped me through the, through that process at one. And after that, I mean, I think I just, I mean, I sort of caught the bug, you know, the fact that you can sort of, you know, take control of your body and do whatever you want with it, as far as, you know, you can bulk, and, you know, just to see, you know, the transformation your body goes through the process, that got me hooked. And fast forward a few years later, I ran into another person that I'm sure, you know, you're well aware of, Brian Doris. Brian Doris and I went to the same Brian Doris and I went to the same college, Northern Illinois University. That's where the bromance sort of started. So that was the story that I saw. If you know who Doris is, I mean he's one of a kind. And if you don't know who he is, then you must live under a rock. So I ran into Doris at the gym. I looked like a football player. And my first question to him was, do you play ball? He's like, no, I just bodybuild. I'm like, okay, awesome. He asked me for a spot, you know, I'm like, cool. And, you know, get a spot at each other. And since then, we became gym, you know, training partners. And from training partner, evolved to more one of me turning to one of my best friends. So that's my sort of how I started into bodybuilding. And then I competed at the OCB Midwest States back in 2010, which was my first sanctioned drug tested show. And that's where I got my pro card as an IFBA pro, now the IBE. It was surreal at the time, just my first show going pro. I'm like, okay, this is kind of real. Like, you can actually, like, somebody, you can actually get paid for something you actually, you know, love to do, which is just, you know, train, be healthy, work out, transform your body into the best shape you've ever been. So that sort of approach, that's what got the fire, you know, breathing in me. But at the same time, as the years go by, you start to learn that, you know, it's more than you. You know, people who actually buy into the process of natural bodybuilding, and you show people that, you know, you don't have to be enhanced. Nothing against guys who are, but I'm just saying, you show, you know, you can naturally, you can achieve the physique that you want as long as you put effort into it. So that's essentially, you know, my sort of background and what got me into bodybuilding. I was just very fortunate to run into the right circle of friends, right circle of people, and right situation, right time. Well, when I needed something extra to kind of give me that little motivation, or, you know, just to stay active and turn into something just bigger than just trying to be active.
Oh, that is nice. That is nice. And for our listeners, we threw some names out there that Sam and I are very familiar with, but maybe you guys are still scratching your head, because, like I said, that's a slight against the natural community as a whole, and how we don't promote and uplift the names of our natural athletes, especially the stars on the rise. And Sam has been out there for a lot of years, and I'm quite familiar with him. But Ryan Doris also is a big name, especially in our area. But he has done an outreach that is just phenomenal. And the Javi Dean Hilarion, and he's been on the set as well. And he goes to a lot of shows. So anybody that has been into the DeKalb region or in the Chicago region has probably seen him, but not actually put a face to the name and a name to the face. So, you know, the guys, I'm telling you, it's not hard to research the names that we're giving, and I'm sorry that we haven't promoted them better. But if you guys just want to dig a little bit deeper and just go back to some of the shows and the overall winners, and I mean, I can remember the Doris doing I think it was the North American, the Illinois, and he just got every best body part known to man. I think they were making up body.
Yes.
So the guys are out there, and like I said, Sam and I are quite familiar with them. So when we speak about them in such a way, it's nothing to dismiss the other big names out there. Like I'm saying, there's plenty of guys, but I'm really, I'm Midwest muscle. So yeah, I'm happy for any guy that comes out of this region because I know we represent the natural bodybuilding community well. Sam, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is a lot of solid. I mean, there's a lot of solid core group of guys that are sort of brewed in the Midwest area. I mean, not to you know, throw shade to like any other like natural bodybuilders out there on any sort of area, but Chicago is definitely. Chicago is definitely you know a breeding ground for a lot of the top pros out here. Obviously, Ryan is from if you're not familiar with Ryan, I mean, used to be he's just a genetic freak in my opinion. The guy, I mean, his brother is Olympian. He used to run track and field. I mean, he's the kind of guy that's naturally gifted. They can just pick something up and just master it. That's the kind of person that he is. And I think that back to the point of me being very fortunate to be around him is just you tend to pick on those things. Like, he's very, like, you know, in tune with, you know, what he wants to do. And if he wants to pick up something, it could be something that he's never done before. He picks it up, masters it, and owns the craft. He's never a big, you know, power lifter. I mean, he picked up power. I mean, he just got, you know what? I'm gonna switch to, you know, I'm gonna marry bodybuilding and powerlifting together. And he's one of the top. I mean, 92 kilo guys in the world, in my opinion. And I mean, he competed at the Arnold. I think 2 years ago, and he's won the USAPL. He got second to another teammate, and the guy got second to is the world record 92 world record champion this year, Alex McLean. So just to give you like an idea what kind of caliber of athlete he is, Nahabi is another pro out here. He hasn't done any show in a couple of, I think, a few years, but like, you know, like Kenan said, if you do a lot of shows and you can look him up, I'm sure you will see him because he's a fan, and, you know, he's a fan of the sport. He loves the sport. So yeah, I mean, it's an awesome ground for breeding a lot of athletes, and we try to get to shows as much as possible, even in off season or contest prep, because it's awesome to get motivated, because you see all these, you know, young guys, you know, being on stage and you're just chasing after, you know, their dreams, or, you know, you see somebody's hard work just paying off on stage, and that kind of, you know, gives you that extra motivation for you to push a little harder, and before you know it, these young guys are coming up and, you know, chasing you off the stage. So you want to keep an eye on what's going on in the sport. So yeah.
Well, that's awesome, and I hope to see more young guys chasing the veterans out there, and just to keep growing the sport. We've got more questions rolling in, so let's rock and roll with those. Tyrone says he missed the Windy City Natural, but thinks he saw you in California. Do you have any more shows on your calendar for the remainder of this year, and where would they be?
Yes, I do, and I think I missed answering one of the questions that you had earlier, and that was my show this year. So this year I did the IP NMBF Pro North Americans in May. I won first place overall. Then I did the Muscle Mayhem in California, the WMBF. I won that overall, and the last weekend I competed at the Windy City Naturals, and I got overall. So currently, as of today, I am less than 3 weeks out, and I'll be doing the IPE Pro Elite, the show in Kansas City. I forgot the afternoon.
Kansas City. Kansas.
Yes. Yes, I will be. And the reason why, I mean, I'll do Kansas City, and I'm going to take a couple of months off, and I'm going to hop into the IPU world and WNBF world. So, yeah, it's going to be a long season for me. So, and the Kansas City, I was going to take just, you know, the rest of the time off from Chicago and just, you know, almost reverse into the world, but... You know, I mean, like you said, we're not really promoting, you know, a lot of shows, and the athletes are going to be in it. And I got to give credit to Alberto on Eunice and what he's been doing. If you follow him, I mean, if you're a fan of the natural bodybuilding circuit, you know who he is. If you follow his Instagram page, he's been sort of you know, shining light on all the athletes that are going to be in the show, because it's competing in the show too. And I mean, in my opinion, that show is shaping up to be, I mean, a preview or not even like a world level, you know, class show, because I mean, you talk about, you know, Alberto Nunes is doing it. I mean, if you don't know who he is, again, you live under a rock, because it's just, I mean, it's shredded to the bone, and not just shredded alone, proportional. I mean, he's a freak of nature. Josh Giddim, another younger up and coming guy, is competing it. Jared Feather, the OG himself, Craig Todd, is competing in it. So you have a mix of both younger and but older competitors in it. Apples and oranges, big and strong, I mean, shredded to the bone. You know, guys who are, I mean, it's name it. So it's shaping up to be a very, very competitive show. And the reason why I'm hopping into the Kansas City show again is I took fourth at that show 3 years ago, right before the Jordan
Cup. Oh,
amen. And not necessarily payback. I mean, payback for myself, because I thought it wasn't my best. And it's you know, it's something, you know, that left a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I knew I can be better than that. So that's always the goal, to be better than that guy that showed up in Kansas City, and to be compared, you know, again, because that lineup was stacked. I mean, talk about Robert Johnson. I mean, you talk about Jeff Alberts wasn't. Marshall Johnson. Those were the, you know, those were the caliber of athletes back then. So it wasn't like, you know, I mean, I got beat by a couple of, you know, no names or, you know, up and comers. No, this is at the time it was. I mean, these guys are at the top of the food chain. They still are, and it's not going to be any different in a few weeks. Also,
well, I know, you know, just because of the fan base that we have and the love we have for the sport, that you had to be excited to hear about Alberto being there. I mean,
if not because Alberta is like, you know, it's something that I've grown close with. We had a couple of other conversations. It was at the California show, Pick His Brain. I mean, his brain is like a huge scientific encyclopedia. I mean, it's so much information. If you follow him on social media, especially on his Instagram, he does a lot of, you know, Q&A. He does a lot of, you know, questions on his talk, and, you know, just a lot of practical stuff. So, you know, just hanging out with him, getting to know him, and just hanging out with him again, you know, all the competitors that they've reached out to me, or I've reached out to them. We all know that we all compete together. It's all about the community of, you know, natural bodybuilders. Nobody's really out there, you know, trying to take each other's heads off. You know, it's all like, you know what, it'll be an honor to step on stage with you, and you coming at your best, me coming at your best, and the best man win kind of situation. So that's, you know, that if that's not exciting, I don't know what else is.
Exactly.
No, definitely sounds exciting. Hey, and if you're not familiar with who Alberto Nunes is, check the P4P Real Talk archives. We had an interview with him. Oh my gosh, was it last year already? I don't think, I think it was earlier this year. Was it last year?
Earlier this year.
Anyway,
no,
he's
it was
there.
Earlier this year.
It was earlier this year. That's what I thought. I didn't think it had been that long ago, but he is there. Check it out, and then you'll just learn more about who he is and his approach to a lot of things, natural bodybuilding. So that was a great interview. And there you go. We did cover that as well. So you can find out about that and more. So the P4P Real Talk archives. So here's a topic that we've been talking about recently, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it more. In fact, we were just talking about it on Tuesday, but we'll get yet another perspective on it. Terry wants to know if the current crop of up-and-coming pros should be jumping straight to the stage if they are going up against guys like you. And I think some of that is part of the debate that we've been having and would love to hear your perspective is there seems to be a trend of where the male pro athletes are coming in far more conditioned, more shredded than they used to, but they don't have as much size. And you know, what is happening to the size in pro bodybuilding? And is this trend what we should expect going forward, or, you know, are things going to circle back around? So I think that's a little bit of the background that Terry is bringing into his question. and asking if, you know, the current pro should jump onto the stage as soon as, you know, they earn their pro cards, or if they should spend some time developing.
You know what? I'll give a little bit of my experience, and I'll share, like, so, I mean, my, you know, just the general experience of, like, you know, a few friends and, you know, some athletes I've worked with in the past. So my experience, like, I got my pro card in 2010, and I think I posted some on my Instagram page. I posted some a picture of what I looked like at that, I mean, at the show, winning my pro card, and what I looked like, I think, a week before California. Just a comparison, and you can see just the change in musculature, obviously. The weight is not anything different, you know, maybe 5-6 pounds different. But I did not jump straight into the show just because, at the time, my mentality at the time was like, you know, I'm just going to dabble into this bodybuilding thing and see what, you know, what we'll come up with. I mean, I've attained, you know, a huge goal of mine, which is to be in one of the best shapes that, you know, I think, you know, I've ever been. And at the time, I mean, so looking at somebody like Ryan Doris, and I saw somebody like Lane Norton, I saw a lot of pros at the time, I think I was a little bit, you know, intimidated. And I was real with myself. Like, I cannot be on stage and be competitive at just the way I look right now. And this was back in 2010. I mean, some of the top pros, natural bodybuilders, they were just like, you know, wiping the floor. That was, I think, the era of, like, I'm not sure. I could be wrong. Doug Miller was, like, still competing maybe 2 years before that. I mean, it was a stacked show. So, the reality for me at the time was I cannot step on stage and be competitive. And that's why I took 2 years off. And the first year I did was the Pro Bowl in Virginia, and I got third place. Again, losing to somebody with the likes of Mike, I forgot his last name, and Donovan Strong got second. If you know who Donovan Strong is, that's another big dude. So, I mean, this last name really lived up to the kind of, you know, the stature that he of an athlete that he is. So imagine me going against, you know, Donovan Strong, the following year after I turned pro. That would be, you know, a reality check. Like, maybe this is not for me. But I'm glad I did, because I was able to, you know, at least have a decent off season, a good off season. I took a year and a half off, and by the time I was stepping on stage, I was already taking maybe almost 2 years off. So the approach of others that I've seen, and I mean, I'm glad you brought this question up too, because in the last few shows that I've done this year, I've been getting that question a lot from a lot of you know, up and coming, you know, amateurs or to open to turn pro this year, and, you know, the question they ask me, so, I mean, do you recommend you start jumping into a show? I'm like, you know what, it depends on you, really. It depends on what, I mean, either way you go about it, you cannot go wrong. About jumping in right away or staying, you know, having maybe a year or two to jump in. The reason why I said you cannot go wrong is you can jump in and figure, okay, this is what it feels like to be a pro. And you learn, and that could fuel the next 2 years, because, you know what, I've had a taste of what it feels like to be on a pro stage. I know for a fact I am not to the caliber of this guys. I'm not ready. I need X amount of time to be ready. That could be, you know, that's a positive outcome from it. Another positive outcome is you just took 2 years off, and there was nothing wrong with taking 2 years off or a year off and actually making some decent gains. So either way, I mean, it all depends. It all depends on people. Like, again, to point somebody that we've been talking about, Ryan Doris, I believe he jumped into a pro show and he was like toe to toe with Cleveland Towns back in the at the show, including Tommy, like next to, I mean, yeah. Tommy, and I mean, he got second at the show. So for him, at the time, he's just so gifted of an athlete that he can, you know, be toe to toe to somebody of, you know, Cleveland Towns, you know, caliber. So if you do a self evaluation and think, you know, for sure, you know, I can go toe to toe with these guys. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. And at the same time, if, you know, you think you're not ready, but you can still be, I mean, step on stage and, you know, be compared to the top pros and like, wow, you know, I didn't even crack top five. Okay. I know I have work to do, but at least, you know, so, I mean, there's a powerful message in, you know, knowing where you are. And, you know, there's another, you know, a mind, you know, mind going crazy waiting 2 years and not knowing, you know, how well you can compare. But all in all, I will lean towards more, you know what, jump in the shore right away. You know, just, you know, jump in the water. You know, test the waters and see where you're at. And that will allow you to create a good game plan for yourself, because, and that could actually fuel, you know, that extra fire, because, you know, wow, you see these pros and, you know, face to face, you see how good they are, you see how crisp, you see how the symmetry, you can pick the brains, and you actually have the right tool to actually make a good, solid, you know, improvement the next time around. So if somebody is asking me, I always tell them, like, you know, jump ahead, you know, there is no negative outcome in just jumping straight into the show, and so you can at least know where you stand.
And I think that's just an awesome perspective. And I think it's one that we haven't necessarily heard before. And, you know, our listeners are definitely trending with or picking up your sewing. In fact, one of them, I'm just going to go ahead and read what she submitted here. But she says, the pros of today will be the legends of the past. How many will regret not having the guts to compete against the legends of today? So pretty much going to, you know what? Even if you're not physically ready, jump in and experience what it feels like to be a pro. She says, how many wish they could go back in time to stand up with Arnold or Zane or others from that era? Learn by being schooled, and she says, and also build friendships at the pro level. So just a lot of great thoughts there all around, and I really enjoy that perspective there.
I absolutely agree. I mean, my sort of stance, they've changed. Since I started competing, I mean, looking back now, I would have loved to jump right in and actually, you know, and be compared to some of the pros out there. And then, you know, I would definitely encourage somebody, you know, to jump in. And I think the comment they just made just now, I think is very, very accurate. And as far as the way you should, you know, should look at things, I mean, you know, just, you know, you get schooled. It's okay. You know, it's okay to get schooled. It's okay to fail. That gives you a better perspective, a better a yardstick to measure, you know, where you are and where you need to be. And that would definitely fuel, you know, the passion that you need, because I mean, 2 years from now, you know, it can be a year and a half and just lose that sort of vibe. Also, you know, that fire, because, you know, you battle with amateurs. You never, you know, battle with the pros. So when you battle with the pros and you see how they're working on stage, you see how, you know, how the guys look, and, you know, it's just the camaraderie and just to be, you know, you've competed as a professional at something. That alone, if that is not the magnitude of, you know, that moment alone, is enough to fuel the youth the next 5-6 years to want to be better.
Wow!
Awesome!
Wow! I love that. Yes. Oh my goodness, Sam, you just hit the nail on the head, buddy. That's so perfect. That wow. I should have. Well, it's in the archive, so I can write it down later.
We have to go out and pull best quotes of the year. You know, when we have our year in review. So to tag on to that, Andrea wants to know, would it help athletes? I believe what we're talking about is if whether they're ready or not, just to go ahead, jump in, get their feet wet, and, you know, just to keep competing. Do you think that is something that would help them stay in the sport?
Yes. So the reason why, to help you, you mean like if athletes just keep competing, like if they jump into the pro show, that would help them keep competing?
Yeah, they earn their pro card, but then they never compete pro, and then they just kind of fall off.
And what would keep them in a sport, pretty much?
So if they just go ahead and just jump in and just start competing and, you know, get that vibe, get that feel for that pro stage, do you think that would help keep more of them in the sport instead of just, like, you know, having it be a bucket list thing? I earned my pro card and now I'm done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We definitely, I mean, I 100% agree that it will help you keep you sort of anchored in a sport. Because what do you end up doing at that point if you never compete? You just end up turning into a spectator. Because I mean, looking at this guy from the stand, from the audience perspective, and you know what it feels like. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the caliber of the pros that are, you know, being on stage, they are getting better due to, you know, a lot of scientific researches and people are doing a little more, you know, the smart way of training, the proper training. I mean, I see the trend for natural bodybuilding to still, you know, people looking, you know, like they're enhanced. But they're not. They are natural guys. So that will never stop because that will always keep growing. And these guys are not going to, you know, stop getting bigger. So imagine if you're not competing and you're not feeling that sort of fire within yourself, which you need to have to begin with, and just being a spectator, you are going to be intimidated for a long time. Like, I do not belong there. I don't want to be up there. But, you know, I mean, for me, it's just it's a non-describable feeling. To be on stage, to work hard at something, and you just, you know, you display that, and something, I mean, one thing I've been encountering this last year is just the amount of time that it just work the pros on stage. I mean, you're up there for like 20-25 minutes, and you just smile the whole time because it's fun. It's such an euphoric like feeling when you're up there. So that fuels, you want to feel that again. That's very natural. So that creates a lot of hunger for you to want to keep going. Obviously, taking the right time off to, you know, make the right improvements, but that fight is still there that you always, you know, want to keep going and want to be better than your previous best. Barring, you know, life or any other situation that comes along that might just deter you from, you know, stepping on stage. If everything goes well, you know, with whatever plan you have. But the fire to step on stage will not, you know, just, you know, diminish. It will always be there for you to step on stage again.
Yes. And I'm going to piggyback that, and I'm going to reference what Sam was talking about with Ryan in Cleveland. Because regardless how competitive it was on stage, the education backstage after the show was even more dynamic because Cleveland
yes.
was catching up to Ryan, let him know everything that needed to be given for him to improve, because competitors love to compete and they love to be challenged and they love that challenge. They accept it willingly. And it was just such an educational moment. And I was standing there like, man, this is like having Einstein meet Tesla and them just hang out and chat, because it was just so much information going back and forth about how they were going to improve for the next time they stepped on stage. And I was just so amazed because there was so much information there, but it was shared willingly. I mean, it wasn't like Ryan was trying to, you know, pry something out of Cleveland. He was giving that stuff because this is, and he said, man, I'm looking at you. And I said, I know you got so much more in that package and there's so much more for the world to see, and just do it, you know, just find a way to do it. He said, you know, because you're so close. And he said, you know, if you want to kick my butt to do better, then that'll make me do better. So we can't, he said, neither one of us loses with this kind of, you know, a competition. And I was just so amazed by that. You know, it just blew me away because I was not used to that. And I told you, I've competed in all kinds of other sports, and I just did not see that factor in any other sport other than natural bodybuilding.
Yeah, I'm gonna piggyback off what you just said right now, so I mean tie that into like my experience. So the California WNBF show, just give you like an idea what I mean. The lineup guy, the guys who are in the lineup. Jose Francisco, if you don't know him, is another guy. He's known as a quad monster. His quads is, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, overall, he's a good guy. Craig Toth. Another legend, another person that I've grown to know well that, you know, definitely respect. The guy, I mean, 2 years ago, the guy was in a terrible car accident, with his forearm in a weird shape. And for him to come back and just compete on that stage, that was just mind-blowing. But the point I was trying to make is against the guy who won it 2 years in a row, Bada. So Bada won the show 2 years in a row, and he's another freak. And for a guy who's been doing it for quite some time, for him to, like, you know, I mean, I won, he got second, and picking my brain on, you know, what to do, and
I mean, mind you, the day before, we all work out together in the same gym, just, you know, sharing information back and forth. Because, you know, I mean, what do you do? What do you do? What's your peak approach? What's my peak approach? Let's try this. And it's actually, I mean, you try to do a dry run of what I told him what a peak approach was, and it's like, wow, they actually, I actually like that approach better. So it's never, I mean, I hope, you know, a lot of people are now under the impression, like, you know, all these guys competing against each other, they want to take their heads off. No, it's a wealth of information that's being passed around that, you know, you can learn from. So to circle back again to Desiree's question or one of your listeners' point about should you jump into a show, you never know what kind of information you're going to get or what kind of information you're going to miss or the opportunity that you can pick this guy's brain. The opportunity is right there and then for you competing with these guys, I mean, backstage. The camaraderie with all the pros is, I mean, it's second to none. We all, you know, like joke around, you know, pick on each other, but it's all like fun and good time. You know, it's not, nobody's looking down on you or you asking this question, you should know this because you're a pro. It's just a wealth of information because you can always learn one or two things from each other, because you're trying to be better. And back to what your point is, if you beat me the next time, okay, I have another little, you know, fire that, you know, that I need or might not need to come back and be better and beat you again, because that's all, you know, we're all trying to compete against our, you know, previous best. So, it all ties together into, you know, if you have the opportunity to compete, go get your pro card, jump right in the show. You never know what the opportunity and experience you're going to get from it, which can fuel you and set you up for the rest of, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, however long you go.
Kind of along the lines of improvement and how that camaraderie in the natural community, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist in the enhanced communities, but I will say just briefly, I've heard a lot more horror stories about how athletes treat each other in the enhanced community versus the natural community. So I'm not going to belabor that point, but so about the improvement, about the camaraderie, you've competed in several different states around mm-hmm. the U.S. against a variety of people. Would you say that having that varied experience has helped you to improve?
I wouldn't say it's a specific like location or, you know, a geography of places I've been and competed against. I mean, or competed at. That has helped me improve. It's you know, when you compete against someone, and again in the day and age that we live in, it's, you know, social media driven. It's easy to communicate and, you know, stay in touch with people. There are some of these athletes that I competed with like 2-3 years ago that I still stay in touch with, and we sort of, you know, just feel and, you know, help each other out to improve. So I mean, a lot of guys have competed, like, you know, maybe in California, I've competed against them in Kansas City. So the geography doesn't really play much to that. But in the pro ranks, in the pro circle, there is, I mean, you're bound to run into the same guys, you know, a lot, you know, especially if you're going through like competitive season. So it's more so on the competitor as like, you know, the location that's helped me fuel, you know, my passion to, like, you know, want to be better. Or want to, you know, be better than this guy's, or because the guys beat me the last time because I was doing my best, so I better come correct because I'm trying to beat him the next time. Or, you know, okay, I'll share some information from, you know, different guys that comes full circle that you, you know, stepping on stage together again. So it's not really a specific, you know, geography, but definitely as is more so of the individual athlete that just happened to be competing in multiple shows that you are competing, or you just run into them in the show in the West Coast and you just get in touch and you see your monitor. No, you don't, you see their progress back and forth, and, you know, and they tell you they cannot wait to, you know, compete against you the next time. You know, it's always like a little banter back and forth, but it's all love out of, you know, it's all out of respect. It's all, you know, we joke about stuff all the time, and, you know, it's all a community of people that really and truly, truly want to help each other out. So,
community, folks, keep that in mind. Barry wants to know the longest that you've been held on stage because of the tough lineup that you've been part of. So, what's the longest the judges have made you work?
Well, I'll tell you, this year it seems like that's the goal. Like, let's see how long we can keep the pros on stage for. So it's almost like a linear progression this year. So Minnesota, I mean, it was because the lineup was not as big as I thought it was going to be, and because I looked better than the rest of the pros out there. So it was one of the quickest times I've ever been on stage, maybe I don't know 15 minutes tops. And fast forward to California, I mean, California, they worked. I mean, they worked it. Honestly, maybe like a good 25 minutes. Imagine posing around for 25 minutes. You get off stage and you instantly just soar. It's one of like the best full body workout you've had in a long time. And move forward to the one in Chicago. Chicago was another tough one. Chicago for like 30 minutes. I mean, every pro on stage. I mean, we were sweating. I mean, we were up there for what seemed like an hour. So, I mean, you know you've been on stage for a long time because when you get off, like, you just, I mean, everything is just so instant soreness. Like, okay, everything's so tight. But, that's why you pose more than 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Just, you never know how long they keep you on stage for. And the fact they keep you longer on stage, it's always a good indication of what kind of lineup you have also. If you have a very competitive lineup, obviously they're going to keep you longer because trying to compare everyone to each other to make sure they have it right. But to answer the question, the longest this year, I don't keep track of the time, but I have to say like 30 minutes.
Wow.
And that's a long time, dude. That's long.
that was a long time.
I don't want to take away from anybody listening, but, you know, you say 30 minutes, half hour. I said, but if you basically, it would almost be like fast breaks in basketball or on any other sport where you have an interception and offense goes to defense, and then the next play they basically fumble again and go the other way, but you still have the same players out there because there is no break. There is no time. And basically you can get a timeout, and that's if the head judge is aware of what's happening, because sometimes they forget. So, you know, there's a lot of factors in that, but a half hour is a long time to be flexing a muscle. I know all our listeners are fans of the sport, but I know they at least go to the gym once or twice, and they know that feeling after. So, guys, that's a long time. Man, whew, I don't envy that at all. I'd be happy to do it. I don't envy that. Well, Sam, if you could, well, we don't want to let the show run too long. We can't give you a chance to give you a shout-out. You know, we've done a lot of name-dropping, but there's a lot of people that are in your corner that probably haven't been named yet. So we're going to give you this time to get some shout-outs, and who's had your back from day one?
Definitely want to give a shout out to my girlfriend. That's my number one supporter. That's my number one fan. Yeah. I've had the same sponsor since I started bodybuilding, Sivation. So they've been with me. From day one, and real supportive as far as, you know, encouraging and, you know, pushing my endeavor and giving me the platform to reach as many people as I can. I'm working with my coach right now, Brian Ostrom of AFC Fitness. He's one of the unknowns, but he needs to be mentioned and known a lot because he does amazing work, obviously, with me. Say that again?
I said Beyond Driven.
Yes, that's who he is. And I have to give another shout out to a guy that I recently started working with. And it takes a lot to look, you know, a certain way, the way you want to look. I mean, and it helps the mental state of, you know, you having, you know, the right people in your corner that are willing to give you that good opinion or, you know, do your programming. And another guy that I've, you know, started working with in the last, since the beginning of this prep, is Alex Crochelle. He designs all my training program. Definitely a lot of different training programs that I'm not used to doing. It's a very humbling experience for somebody to say, you know what, this is what I want you to do, and you're seeing results. You're seeing, you know, things that you haven't seen in a while. And to have somebody that knowledgeable in your corner, and you know, kind of just gives you the, you know, the roadmap to you want to achieve that dream. It's been very very awesome. So if you if anybody's, you know, looking for awesome programming, definitely check him out. Alex Crochell, AlexCrotteau 22. That's his handle on Instagram. And tell him Sam sent you.
Very good, very good. And I'm pretty sure we had some sad faces out there when they heard you had a girlfriend. It happens. But I know our listeners, both male and female, are absolutely in love with your physique. They are amazed at your symmetry. So congrats all around to all the folks who make Team Okodolo happen. So there you go. And thanks again for joining us tonight. I think we've had a lot of great perspective, some things that we may not have necessarily heard before from an athlete, but all good things. And definitely, as always, things to, you know, for us to go back, think about, and put into play for ourselves as we look into our own, you know, bodybuilding careers or how we can best support that bodybuilder that's in our life. So thanks for joining us, and good luck at the shows coming up. So we're definitely looking
all
forward
right.
to see how
Kansas
those are
City.
Going to play out.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, keep training hard,
Kansas
and we'll
City
see you on the stage soon.
I can see Kansas.
Oh, my. So I'm glad you're finally able to track this guy down and get him on the show. How long have we been chasing him?
Oh, my goodness. About 3 years.
Yeah. You know, it happens like that sometimes. I mean,
yes,
we have guests on, and
the Midwest region is filled. I'm not kidding. The Midwest region is filled with so much natural talent. It's shocking that they're not more well-known. And that's where I was referring to how we – and when I say we, you know I'm talking about the industry. I'm not talking about you and I. And I think I might have confused some of the listeners with that, and I do apologize. But when I say that, I say the industry as a whole. We're just not promoting such talent. You look at Sam, and this guy, he's eye-catching for sure. Obviously, our listeners agree. But we should do better at promoting our own instead of, you know, I look at social media. And, you know, anytime there's a big NPC or IFBB event, everybody natural is sharing about it. But when we have the natural shows that are big events, you have either somebody in the venue or somebody that's following and posting for the person they're supporting. But we don't have that, you know, nationwide following that we should for something that so many natural athletes are a part of. That's amazing to me. I can't imagine if I was in the NBA and I'm constantly promoting the European League. That just doesn't make sense to me. So it just boggles my brain that we aren't more self-promoting from the inside out instead of basically waiting for somebody else to spot us in the spotlight. That doesn't happen unless we do our part. And you know, so I'll take the onus on that. And I'll pass it back to Deb.
Hey, and I wholly agree. And part of it, too, is just the humbleness of the athletes. And some of it is also that, you know, in the natural community, it is not uncommon to take long breaks. And so some names, some faces do kind of fall off until they resurface. And then you're like, oh, man, that's right. I forgot how great this guy is, and look, here he is proving it again. So, you know, probably a combination of things, but challenge accepted to do our own individual part, to do my individual part to help champion more of our own natural athletes, because we do have a great crop of talent that's out there, and we need to keep them in the forefront, you know. Yep, there you go. So it is all there. And always check the archives, guys. A lot of stuff. If you're not able to tune in every time we have a show, because I feel like we're on here a lot, maybe we're not, but do check out the archives. A lot of great people, a lot of information that's just waiting there for you to tap into it. And speaking of which, our waiting time is over. Show's almost up. So, Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle if you enjoy the noodle oodles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, on
yeah.
behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys from PCP Muscle, your body's a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.